Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I am your host, Jason Logan. And if you bet on the Kansas City Chiefs last night, well, my friends, you've been thunderstruck by the greasiest backdoor cover we've seen of the 2022 season so far. If you listen to the Tuesday pod, we did have Chargers plus four. Feels good to be on the side of one of those backdoor covers. But, you know, they don't always go like that. Sorry to anyone that did have KC. But, you know, it don't feel so bad. We had Mahomes over half an interception, and that sucker should have cashed about four times last night. But we ended up losing that prop, a bet that I'm going to tag as our asparagus piss bet of the week, because losing a bet stinks, but losing a bet in that fashion stinks so, so, so much more. If you've been listening to the Sharp 600 since our relaunch and you like what you hear, please take a minute, rate and review the podcast. It helps us reach sports bettors like yourself. And one guy that would appreciate that love is my man, Dell, who's behind the scenes of the 600. Dell, how you feeling, pal?
Feeling all right. Could be a little better if Mahomes threw an interception, but the NFL didn't want that to happen.
Had some help from the refs. Game of inches too. Asante Samuel just had to hang on to that. But you know, week two of the NFL season awaits. Let's put a cool 600 seconds on the clock.
Round one, fight.
All right, we start things off here with my weekly NFL underdog picks. You can find those on covers.com. Overall, underdogs went 8-8 ATS in week one. My three selections for last week, however, finished 1-2 ATS. Wah. On to week two, I really like these dogs here in week two. So I took the Saints plus three, some shops down to plus 2.5 as we head towards the weekend. New Orleans finally showed up in the second half versus Atlanta. They roared back to avoid that week one upset. I like the Saints to pick up where they left off against Tampa Bay, which did not look great on offense against Dallas in week one. So outside of Leonard Fournette getting loose on the ground, Brady in the passing game just didn't really look dangerous. Just 18th in EPA per dropback, that put them behind the likes of the Lions and the Falcons and the Jaguars. Tom Brady has some top targets dinged up, namely Chris Godwin. He missed practice. This offensive line still a mess here. They ranked out 27th in pass block win rate against Dallas, and they face a nasty New Orleans defense. So give me the Saints and the points. I took Pittsburgh plus 2.5 at home to New England. This one making it down to plus 2 with many markets. Mac Jones fighting a bad back. He also had an illness this week, and one of his biggest protectors, Trent Brown, was dealing with an ankle injury. He was back on the field Friday. We'll see how he is, but not who you want out when you're playing the Steelers. And then on top of that, you got a secret weapon in Brian Flores on the Steelers staff as a defensive assistant. This guy is a former Belichick disciple. He just watched the defense that he designed in Miami do damage against New England in week one. Very valuable film session. He was 4-2 straight up and ATS against the hoodie as the head coach of the Dolphins. He knows how to get the best of Belichick. He passes that along. Steelers and the points. Last underdog of the week comes Monday night, Minnesota plus 2.5 at Philadelphia. The Vikings lived up to all that sharp offseason hype. They handled Green Bay on both sides of the ball. The offense looked damn good here with Kevin O'Connell as the new head coach. And the Eagles, I think they're going to have to pick their poison here. Is it going to be Justin Jefferson or Dalvin Cook that kills them? Philly's defense buckled. Almost barfed up a win in Detroit last Sunday. They got gashed on the ground. And then Jonathan Gannon's zone coverage, I think it's going to get picked apart by Jefferson. If this turns into a shootout, I don't know if the Eagles can go tit for tat with the talent on the Vikes roster. And we might see, as I like to say, some Dr. Jalen and Mr. Hurts from the Philly QB if it really does fall on his shoulder. And what about Kirk Cousins in primetime, you say? I don't care about Kirk Cousins in primetime. I care about him staying within 2.5 of this game. And I think he will. This is a different Minnesota team. So I like Minnesota Monday night. I reeled in myself this week after getting a little apeshit in week one with some bets. But here are some few plays that I do have in action for week two. I got the over Rams team total in the first half, 14.5 points versus Atlanta. That's a mouthful. I know. Los Angeles been sitting around for a week with more than a week with a bad taste of Buffalo in their mouth since last Thursday. The biggest culprit in that season opening flop was the offense. Sean McVay came out this week and said, hey, we have to play with urgency. We want to get into rhythm early on. And he's had extra time to plan. While this is not a bye week, it is a mini bye. And giving McVay that extra time to iron out the wrinkles is good for LA. Atlanta's defense came back to earth, crashing back to earth in the second half versus the Saints. I like the Rams to come out swinging over 1.5 team total, 14.5. Baker Mayfield, under 219.5 yards passing. Baker pays an old visit. So he pays a visit to his old AFC North friend, Wink Martindale, the former Ravens DC, now the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. And Martindale routinely whooped Baker's ass when he was in Cleveland, with Mayfield going 3-5 straight up as a starter in 8 matchups with Baltimore. He completed just 58% of his passes. He suffered 10 sacks and 9 interceptions in those contests. The Panthers O-line had some issues last week against Cleveland. They now face Wink's blitz-heavy attack here that racked up the second-highest blitz rate in Week 1. Mayfield notoriously shite against pressure. And then Ben McAdoo says he's going to see a lot more McCaffrey this week. So I'm taking under Baker on his passing yards total, even with the Giants' soft secondary. So we tossed out some bets on the Tuesday show. Some lines have moved, so follow those if you want. You can go and listen to those on the Tuesday show. Dell, what do you like here in Week 2?
I'm looking at Hunter Renfro, anytime TD, plus 155. In Week 1, Renfro caught only 3 passes for 21 yards. The Cardinals' pass defense is atrocious, and Renfro will see Jalen Thompson on the majority of his routes. Last year in slot coverage, Thompson allowed an 87.5% catch rate and a 123.2 passer rating. So I like Renfro a lot this week.
Dell dropping the sexy analytics. I like it. I like it. Those TD anytime props are super, super popular. And we decided to play a little game. Dell's going to throw out 2 guys on the TD prop market for a few games. And I'm going to say which one I think has the best shot of finding pay dirt on Sunday. So who do you got first?
So we're starting with the Seahawks-Niners game. Trey Lance plus 210 or Brandon Ayuk plus 260.
All right. So I had Trey Lance last week, TD anytime against Chicago. It didn't pan out. They kind of played in the muck there at Soldier Field. The Niners, they do like to run inside the red zone. And Seattle gave up some good gains on the ground to the Broncos, but got let off the hook because the Broncos had those goal line fumbles. I'm going to lean Lance again here. Even with them dialing up a pass in a red zone, if it falls apart, Trey Lance can make stuff happen, default to his leg. So I think he finds the end zone before Ayuk.
Next up, Dolphins-Ravens, Rashad Bateman plus 250 or Jalen Waddle plus 200.
So Bateman had a pretty good day against Miami's blitz-heavy attack there last year. He had a touchdown last week against the Jets and he was on the field a lot for them as well, too. And the Waddle had that score on the Patriots in the fourth down conversion, the kind of the catch and run into the end zone. But Tyreek Hill did see the bulk of the targets for Miami. That's a close one to call. I'm going to go with the better QB, and that's Lamar Jackson by far. Bateman, pretty versatile, too. They can move him around and put him in the slot or put him out. So I like him to find the end zone there. Plus 250 is pretty good.
And we're going to close with Raiders-Cardinals. Darren Waller plus 155 or Kyler Murray plus 220.
Ah. All right. So it's given the spread move and how high this total is, and how crap the Arizona secondary is, I got to go Waller full out. And the Cardinals, they brought like full on blitz against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and Mahomes just chewed them up. And Derek Carr, one of the better QBs against the blitz as well, too. And I think that we're going to see Waller matched up with some linebackers, with some undersized DBs. He's going to take advantage of that as well. And then he's also the kind of the pressure release guy if they do come after Carr. So Waller for sure for me in this prop. All right, thanks for serving those up, Dell. We're going to jump into the weekend watch. Some quick actionable info to get you on your way before Week 2. Weather-wise, hot and humid in Jacksonville for Jags at Colts. It's going to feel like soup for this 1 p.m. kickoff. Cleveland could have gut wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour for Jets and Browns. The Niners can't escape the rain. Forecast calling for wet stuff, 35 mile per hour winds versus Seattle. Injury-wise, doesn't sound like Chris Godwin is going to be in action if you listen to Todd Bowles. Julio Jones, though, Mike Evans back at practice on Friday. Kittle still out with a groin injury. The Packers had everyone back, including David Bakhtiari. Michael Pittman, top receiver for the Colts. Pro Bowler DeForest Buckner as well. They missed some time of practice this week. Shaq Leonard may be back. I'm keeping a close eye on this one because I do have the Colts minus 4 as well as the over 45.5 in that game. In the Week 3 line that I'm trying to get out ahead of, here's Green Bay plus 3 at Tampa Bay. I expect the Packers to get right against Chicago Sunday night at home. I've already professed my love for the Saints as well, who I believe are going to kind of slow down the Tampa Bay offense. I like the Pack at a field goal on the look-ahead line. The total for this one on the look-ahead line this summer was as high as 52.5. Very, very, very high. Now it's down to 48 points after those Week 1 results, as we saw Green Bay struggle and Tampa Bay struggle on offense, too. So those are the look-ahead lines that I do like there. So we're going to jump into... Give me that horn. All right, 2-minute drill time with author Arthur DeCesar of the famed Las Vegas Superbook. Arthur, what's the biggest bet game for Week 2?
I think you got to take it in kind of like sections. Early, it's going to be Dolphins-Ravens. Late, Cardinals-Raiders. And then that Monday night last game, Vikings-Eagles, will get nice action.
Yeah, what's the biggest liability for you guys so far?
Right now, it's the hometown team, the Raiders. I mean, we opened at 3.5. It's now 5.5. We always take Raider money, but I also think that is anti-Arizona, how bad they looked in week one.
Yeah, that was an ugly, ugly game there. Biggest sharp opinion for week two?
You know, there hasn't been a ton, but I think the one that stood out to me is New England. Pats open -1.5 going to Pittsburgh. We're now at 2.5. I think most people feel Belichick won't start 0-2. The quarterback situation isn't great there, but the quarterback situation is not great in Pittsburgh and no TJ Watt.
Bad news for me. I'm on the Steelers and the points. Joe's versus pros game. Where are we seeing that split?
It's actually on one of the better games of the week. It's Miami-Baltimore. Pros very happy to take Miami at 4.5. They took him at 4. We're now at 3.5. The Joe bettors and the public bettors will be very happy to take Baltimore. I don't know if we'll get down to that key number of 3, but that's definitely the divide there.
Week two, I love this because of the overreaction. What's the biggest week one overreaction?
You know, I really believe this, and people are going to think I'm crazy, but I think it's the Dallas line. Let's look at the look ahead. Yeah. Look ahead with Prescott was Dallas -2.5. Now Prescott goes out. We reopened it. Cincinnati -8. Dak Prescott's not worth 10.5 points. Cooper Rush is serviceable. He was there last year, and it's now gone down. You know, Dallas money's come in, and it's +7 now.
Yeah, I've seen it puff up there. I'm a Dallas fan, and I am not going anywhere near that one. Before we get out of here, best bet for week two. You gave us a winner last week.
I'm going to stick with the first half theme. Packers -6.5, first half.
All right. I like it. That's the horn. Another 600 seconds in the can. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. Please, of course, rate and review the podcast or leave a thumbs up and some comments in the YouTube thread. However you do take us in each week. Much appreciated. I'm Jason Logan. Good luck this weekend, and we'll see you in week 3.